The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ,
you may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Are there any occasions that are more joyous than weddings? There may be a few, but weddings tend to come to mind as joyous occasions. Has anything ever gone wrong during the course of a wedding? Now, Scott will tell you our wedding was absolutely perfect, wasn't it? Yeah, that's why we were so exhausted afterward that all we wanted to do was take a shower and go to sleep. Because everything seemed to go wrong. Have you had that experience as well? It never seems to go smoothly, does it? And we only deal with weddings for a few hours. In the time of Jesus, a wedding went on for a week or two. Lots of occasions for things to go wrong. And can you imagine what it would be like as the people of a small town remembered what went wrong during your wedding? Can you imagine what it would have been like for this couple to be remembered as the couple who ran out of wine? Ooh, the drink of celebration, they ran out. How poorly they must have planned. After all, they should have known how many people would come. They should have known how long this was going to last. They should have made provisions. And here they are. People are still celebrating, and they have run out of wine. Can you imagine the head shaking in times to come? Oh, I remember I went to their wedding. They ran out of wine. And so they do. They run out of wine at this particular wedding. Jesus is there with his disciple and his mother, and his mother comes up to him and says, "They've run out of wine." And he's, "What am I supposed to do about it? Why should I even care? It's not his wedding. He's not the bridegroom. He's not responsible for the wine. He's not the wine steward. What does this matter to me?" And she turns around and says, "Do whatever he tells you." What do we learn from this? First of all, listen to your mother. Mother knows best. His mother knew him. He knew that he would want to do something to make sure that this couple was not shamed as a couple who ran out of wine at their wedding. I'm not sure that she knew what he was going to do. Run down to the market and buy a few more bottles of wine. Did she expect him to actually turn some substance into wine? We're not told. But he decides this is what he's going to do. Now, there would have been jugs that had contained wine that are now empty, but he doesn't use those. Instead, he looks at the big stone jars used for the rites of purification. And they're empty, too. So he tells the servants to go and fill them up to the brim, and they do. And And then he asked them to do something that they must have considered extremely strange. To dip some out and bring it to the person who needs to taste it. And they're thinking, why are you sending us on this strange excursion to go and bring this water to this individual? We're just going to get yelled out. But they do as Jesus tells them to do. And we're told that this individual tasting the wine, not knowing where it's come from, then calls over the bridegroom and says, you've surprised me. Because the usual thing is to use the good wine first and then, you know, after they've been imbibing for a while, bring in the cheap stuff. But you save the best until last. So from this, of course, we can learn, do whatever Jesus tells you to do, even when it seems utterly ridiculous, because Jesus knows what he's doing. What we also see in this sign, the first of his signs recorded in the Gospel of John, that this is where he begins to show who he is to his disciples. He first begins to show his glory, and they believe in him. He's going to be showing his glory in other surprising ways as well, in healing the sick, in curing the lame, and even bringing back to life someone who has died. And his greatest sign of all, his greatest glorification, will be when he's nailed to the cross and raised high. He does surprising things, this Jesus. The disciples must be wondering what sort of teacher he is to do such astonishing things. And as they come to see him reveal himself more and more, they come to believe in him not only as a great teacher, but as a Messiah. We see him over and over transforming people, in this case transforming substances, turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. And I don't think that this stopped at his death and resurrection. I believe that Jesus continues to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary. He wants to do that with our lives. Our lives as individuals, our lives as a faith community. To turn the ordinary into the extraordinary in his way of transformation. He wants to bring joy into our lives and into our hearts the way that he did at this wedding at Cana. He wants us to be known not as the people who have run out of wine, but the people who are overflowing in God's abundance. I think this couple at Cana were known as the ones who saved the best for last. The ones who had an extra, at least 120 gallons of wine. Because Jesus didn't just make a couple of gallons of wine. It's at least 120 gallons, far more than they needed. And I think he does that today in our hearts and in our lives. He wants us to overflow with God's abundance. Maybe not abundance in material things, but abundance in faith and hope and love. So abundantly that it flows out from us into the world that needs it so much. So that's my question for you for today. How do you want God to transform you? How do you want God to transform this church? How do you want God to do what God does best? To show God's abundance overflowing into a world in so much need of the hope and love and restoration promised by our God. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, number 310.